Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci, and you're about to hear an interview with Christian Schwachau, director of Je Suis Carl from the 2021 Berlinale. First off, Christian, we don't have much time, so I'd very much appreciate this. Would you be able to introduce the film to our listeners? Because there are so many twists and turns in the film that I wouldn't want to give anything away.
Yeah, it's hard because you should watch the film without knowing too much about the story, because there's quite a few twists and turns. And but what I can say that it's about a young woman who becomes victim of a terror attack and is traumatized because she's lost her mother and two brothers. And she meets a young guy whose name is Karl, and it turns out that he is part of a European youth movement that is very attractive and very fascinating. Young people from different countries being very educated, being smart, having a great, interesting lifestyle. But she has to find out that this movement is a very, very, very radical far-right movement, and she gets trapped into it.
Yeah. So this film is actually, I understand, based on a screenplay by Thomas Vendrick. How did you guys meet? How did your collaboration begin? And what was it about this screenplay that fascinated you, interested you?
Well, Thomas and I met a couple of years ago, I think 8-9 years ago, for another project about the far right in Germany. It was a film called NSU German History X, about a true case of three young fascists who murdered 10 immigrants in Germany. And this film was based on a lot of research, and we found out, researching for that project, that the far right have changed, and that there's a new young movement rising, not only in Germany, but in Europe. And they've, you know, learned how to use social media, how to use Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and that they're suddenly trying to conquer the mainstream and be more attractive for young people who probably believe that Facebook is a news channel and don't know so much about the Second World War and its consequences. And that fascinated us because I see that there's a big threat and a danger.
Yeah. No, definitely frightening to think that social media has this sort of power even. But I'm curious, though, from a visual standpoint, as a filmmaker, just looking at the different uses of new media, new technology that the younger generation uses and that these alt-right movement use it, do you find that a stimulating language to work with as a filmmaker?
Well, I did try to understand how they use media and how they create their own content, their own events to film it, to show it live, to present it as news, to actually, to create your own consequences. I mean, the far right are dreaming of a day X. The day X is the day where they can take over power after violent riots. And the way they create events to activate the masses, that's very scary, but you can read it in all their manifestos. And it was kind of obvious to me to use social media and to use their way of presenting those news, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, when we look at this film, I'm curious about the role of Europe within the ideal of this burgeoning alt-right movement. But do you find that Germany in particular does play a role in the rise of these type of idea? I'm thinking mostly also because of the geographical placement of Germany, because it does lie at the heart of the European continent.
I don't know about that. I mean, the thing is that there's other countries with strong youth movements like Austria, France, and Britain, but we have them in Germany too. I think what they try to do is create a European identity, but mostly to attract young people, because to attract young people and give them like a Erasmus kind of feel. And it's, you know, today being European is something positive, even for the nationalists. But at the end of the day, their ideas are very much for their own country. So if you would ask them, it would always be Germany first, or Austria first, or France first, or Italy first. So I think it's more a package. It's more to sell it as something diverse, something fresh, something open. But I think mostly that's just marketing and not what they really stand for.
You want to be part of a community, right? You want to be part of something.
Exactly, because most people, I mean, teenagers of today, you know, even if you're far right, you have a relationship to a term like diversity and openness, and so that's what, you know, that's what they're trying to represent too.
Yeah, and we talked about the visuals earlier. Do you think that also, and the film, you do explore an exploitation of emotions, of dramas that people undergo? But do you think that also, maybe with all of these images that we're coming across, it would be very important to also have a way to help people, the younger generations, understand what they're looking? So there's also an exploitation of an educational ignorance, if I can say that.
Absolutely. That's why I try to make the film accessible for a young audience, and didn't want to present my story like in a classical art house way for a mature audience, for the ones who already know everything. So this film is made for a young audience. It's a thriller story. There is a love story. There's beautiful young people. There's a slick surface, because this is the way those far right youth movements present themselves. And I want to understand a young generation to look behind the surface, to look behind the slickness of the images.
Right. So the target audience for this is a younger audience. So the age range of the protagonists of this film also reflect the age range of the audience that you would love to watch this film.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, I want teachers and parents to watch the film too. But, you know, in my country, the classical art house audience is older than 65. And I wish a younger audience to get an access to this film, yeah, and to send them a warning as well.
Out of curiosity, though, do you believe that there's a good to kind of, I mean, there's a good aspect to Europe, Europeanist ideals, the European Union?
I believe in the European idea. So the Brexit, of course, was a big nightmare to me. And I really hope that not too many other countries follow. I mean, I hope no other country will follow. I love the idea of a Europe without borders, of one currency. Of course, I like regional identities, but I like the idea of, you know, yeah, of free traveling. I was born in East Germany. I know how it feels to being stopped at a border. And I love the idea of a free continent, of a united continent.
And I understand that. And that's what makes this film so powerful, is that it comes from a place of love. You know, well, love may be a strong word, but you obviously care about Europe and the European Union. And so that's why you're so good at sort of trying to turn people's heads towards the bad side of those ideals. We got to go, Christian, but it has been absolutely amazing speaking with you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.